Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Welcome back, and now it's part two, episode two of the Jonathan Ross special of Stalking Time for the Moon Boys. For some reason, as I was going to the toilet just then, I started to have a sort of idea in my mind about Two Were Saved and how it might go. The Morrissey song, if you'd done it.
Come on, let's hear it.
Two were saved, their lives were not paved. That's what I thought, like, as in paved over.
That's such a literal one. He wouldn't do a literal one.
He might do. He's not worried. Literal. He's meat is murder.
Yeah, but he's not worried about dying. Literal. He's worried about being eaten.
Well, but, okay, so he's not being entirely literal.
How about,
but
two were saved, they were not enslaved. Not,
well, but that's not true.
That's quite literal as well.
That's very literal.
Yeah, they were enslaved.
Yeah, they were enslaved.
Well, they weren't enslaved, they weren't forced
to work. I've
seen
them in your house, they were in a cage.
No, they weren't in a cage, they were in an enclosure, David.
Well, that's still...
That was only because otherwise
they... Could they wander out? Could they go to Hampstead?
No,
they
couldn't. The pig we've got now did have a little one the other day. He just opened the door and came out to see us. He came up to the house. We used to let the pigs...
My version
can you actually put some music, I mean, your own music to it?
Two were saved.
Nice. Very good.
Like they were charmingly grave.
Oh, that's
so I've got the word, so I've used a key Morrissey word.
Well, I can't believe I didn't go for grave. Why did I go for paved?
Grave and charming.
Yeah.
Jonathan, you're thinking about that. I think you think that's good. Yeah. I think you're
Two were saved. They were not the meat he craved.
That's quite Bowie.
Friends indeed.
You got very Bowie.
Never mind, where's the seed in the garden? It grows near the pigs.
This is after Bowie was a homosexual artist. This is when very much
I'm going to draw a line over this slightly tedious obsession you two have with where his dick went. It doesn't
still
matter whether he was straight
is this
or gay. This is the middle.
This is good. It's a good bit. He didn't do middle eights, did he, Morrissey? So, in a way.
Morrissey doesn't do middle eights.
So, you're too muso. No, we don't talk in terms of middle eights. You probably understand that. I don't understand that.
I understand.
Excuse me. I'm going to name drop here. I had dinner with Andrew Lloyd Webber and Lin-Manuel Miranda's recently. Thank you.
Wow.
And we were talking about we were talking about time signatures, and they were talking about, it wasn't 7-8, it was 15-16 time, I believe.
And but it could be anything.
Okay,
yeah.
So you're going to enjoy this story. You probably won't make your podcast there. So I was just saying, what does it mean? Is there,
I've had a conversation with
I think it's kind of the sort of signature that's in Take Five.
Well, that's actually 5-4.
Okay,
four,
so it's an odd
thing. Yeah, but you're right.
So I pretended, and I kept saying to Andrew, can you explain it to me? And he was trying to explain it, and Lin-Manuel was rolling his eyes. And then I went to Andrew Lloyd Webber's birthday party, and there was a performance on stage after. It was a very lovely deal, and I'm very fond of Andrew Lloyd Webber. And we're sitting there, and then Tim Minchin's on stage, and he performed a comedy song he'd written for the occasion. At one stage, it mentioned the 15-16 time signature. And the thing I love about this is Andrew Lloyd Webber made a point of moving his body around, looking at me and going,
yes,
nodding as if I was the only other person who got that joke. And I nodded back, still didn't know what the fuck it meant.
Yeah.
I went, we get this.
Yeah.
Was it 15-16? I imagine it was... 8-7.
It was 8-7, which
I've done. Because Lin-Manuel Miranda I have had a Twitter conversation about 8-7 in Jesus Christ Superstar.
Okay.
Well, there's an 8-7 song in every one of Andrew Lloyd Webber's
musicals. Yeah, there is. Yeah,
even
there
the ones no one's seen, like Jeeves. See, I didn't realise until recently that Bowie has a cover version on every single one of his albums.
Is
I didn't realise
that.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
What's the cover version
on
Low?
Wind, they probably wouldn't want it. Word on the Wind is a cover version.
Yeah, I know Word on the Wind is.
Is there not one on Low then?
No. I was going to ask you what the cover is on Lodger.
On Lodger, is it Look Back in Anger?
Oh, no.
Is it...
What
is it the one, the Turkish-sounding one?
No.
The Assassin?
The Assassin, which I really like.
Do
you?
God,
I like the Assassin.
I like the Assassin.
I don't like Look Back in Anger. When Bowie did that, he spoke to me before and he went, doing Look Back in Anger tonight.
Yeah.
And he was looking at me to be excited and I went, great.
I like Look Back and Anger.
No, I really like your sassing though.
Not a lonely guy.
I think we're not allowed to play the actual music, and some people might think that was us playing the actual music.
That was
so we need to be a bit careful.
I think they'll realise that was Japanese.
I like Assassin.
You still haven't got the
card. I don't know what it is, but I'm not interested in playing these kind of games.
It's Repetition by the Au Pairs. I've mentioned it before.
Oh, right.
I can't even remember how Repetition goes.
Johnny is a man.
Oh, yeah, I like that.
He's bigger than you.
I haven't listened to Lodger for a long while.
And his overheads are high.
Guys,
and
can
he looks right
okay,
through
enough
you.
Of that. Can okay. I ask you, how on a scale of albums, as young Bowie fans, how excited were you when a new album was coming out and you were really looking forward to that cover? And how disappointed were you that some of the covers weren't a lovely, clear shot of this man you idolised and worshipped? For example, Low, we all loved that cover. Station to Station, we loved it, but I felt a bit cheated when Low came out because I knew it was from the same period, the photograph, exactly. Yes. Okay, this is from Man Who Fell to Earth. Lodger, even though I now understand why he went for that, his grey eyes, I hated it because he looked like Pinocchio lying on the floor. You can't see his face.
I didn't like his nose being flat.
Yeah,
that really upset me.
That upset me too.
And
that recent album, what was the recent album where you used the Heroes cover but Black Daddy's
face?
That's a cheat. Give us a new photograph, David. We like looking at you.
I think it was meant to be saying, this is a new Bowie and you shouldn't be holding
Let's Dance was quite good because that was fully
Let's
Dance. Boxing,
yeah, but that one where it's the fake Gilbert and George kind of cover with the stained
Never
glass.
Let Me Down.
Oh,
is
that
it?
Was annoying.
Yeah, no, there were some terrible covers in the 80s.
I mean, I heard you say the other day, John, I must have been listening to you or something, in that, because talking about his look and everything, that you thought, because we're completely opposite here, that the sort of hair, like the 1978 hair that Bowie had, which is brilliant on the Mark Boland show that we've talked about, which is sort of, you hated that hair.
I didn't like, when he came out with Heroes, I said, yeah, but you'd like any fucking hair, wouldn't
That's
you?
That's a good point, John.
I mean, on Heroes, I didn't like that look. No, I thought that he looked too straight for me. I didn't enjoy that look. He didn't look interesting
I think at the time I thought the same, but now I think he looks brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, let me just say, I think he always looks brilliant.
Yes.
Even Blue Jean, he looks brilliant. Even Tin Machine. I mean, the period when he wasn't quite looking as stylish was and he still looks stylish, but that late period when he came back, because I met him a few times. Like I showed you that photograph when you came in when I was at the GQ Awards with him, and he's wearing, I think it's an old-school boating suit, but it's a fairly normal suit.
Yeah, a bit normal.
And there's something about him wearing regular fashion.
But there's no question.
I always felt slightly disappointed.
That he was trying to be what my son calls a normo, I think, towards that period.
Like massive.
I don't know.
Enormo.
My son says a normo is like a normal.
I think he
person.
Was. No, I tell you what I think was really happening was he's a much older man now, of course, and he was just trying to look good as an old man. And I think he realised that putting on makeup at that stage, he would have looked a bit like Beryl Reed in Entertaining Mr. Sloan.
That would have been
grotesque.
That would have been marvellous.
A little grotesque, but
so let's do the thing that I know you've been dying to do, Jonathan, because I found this.
He's already said he doesn't like quizzes.
I don't mind them.
A quiz on the internet.
It's normally what simple-minded people do instead of talking.
That's why I'm doing it.
But you don't like talking to other people, so you might enjoy it.
You've revealed something of yourself. You said you're a hermit. You said you know.
I'm not
so
a hermit. I never said I was a fucking hermit.
Introvert.
You said
introvert.
A fucking hermit is a bloke who lives in a cage, is waiting for enlightenment.
Exactly. That's what I thought.
I'm
you
not
said.
Waiting for enlightenment. I'm enlightened. I'm woke AF.
Two are enslaved.
Come on.
Two are enslaved.
You
charmingly
will be
grave.
Enslaved to me. You're going to be my
are
new
kids. You sure
kids?
Charmingly grave isn't a really good?
It's the ointment on its skin.
Is that Morrissey?
No, lotion. It's Buffalo Bill from Silence of the Lambs.
Oh, is it? Okay.
It rubs the lotion on its skin.
That, I don't know what you're talking about.
No, neither do I. I'm sorry.
It's the serial killer.
No, I know it is.
When he's got the poor woman trapped in the thing, he throws the cream down.
Oh, yes.
And when she's trying to engage him as a human, thinks she'll get out, he goes, it rubs the lotion on its skin.
I find you a bit frightening when you're doing
that. It's meant to be. It's a serial killer.
Okay.
Called Acting Team.
We're going to find out. There's a quiz on the internet which claims to tell you which album you are.
Okay,
right?
That's quite a good
idea. And you said Low, and I can't do it with both of you.
Which Bowie album?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because it could be any. I could be like a Backstreet Boys album, but you mean both.
Well, you are, I did that separately.
Yeah.
It's Klezma.
Right, which of these statements would you say most describes you? I enjoy new experiences. I don't like meeting people. I like expanding my circle of friends.
I don't like meeting people.
I think we knew that from what you said. Which of these do you most agree with? I like a challenge. I like familiarity. I like to mix things up.
I like familiarity.
Okay. Which of these phrases are you most likely to think of yourself when you're attending a party? I hope people like me. These people bore me. I'm the most interesting person here. The music is awful. It's a weird selection of reactions.
I mean, that's kind of a strange...
I hope people like me. These people bore me. The music is awful.
Probably the music is awful.
Okay.
Also, these people bore me, sure.
No, people don't tend to bore me because if people bore me, I walk away from them or I leave the party.
Yeah, that's not down as a thing, so we can't
do
that.
Okay.
That's what we'll
Your friends, which you've learned is just basically David and I, are organising a birthday party for you.
Shoot him.
What would you... It's just David. What would your ideal scenario be? A surprise party? an intimate evening with your closest friends, a mental night out with your lunatic best friend.
It would be absolutely none of the above.
None of the above.
But I mean, which were the ones?
Surprise party.
You're going to have to go for intimate party.
Intimate evening with your closest friends.
No, because I'll be honest with you, I'd rather have a surprise party with a bunch of people I didn't have to engage with than have an intimate...
Okay, we're getting there. How do you prefer to spend your evenings? Clubbing, at home watching telly, at the gym?
At home watching telly. Right. Like everyone.
Yeah.
What sort of literature do you like to read? Fiction, non-fiction, newspapers cut up and rearranged.
It's got a bit Bowie.
I think they're steering us in the direction of that last one.
Yeah. Fiction, non-fiction, newspapers cut up.
Well, you know, I can't. I like both. I don't like reading newspapers cut up and rearranged.
Who likes that apart from Bowie when he was
writing? I'll go with fiction rather than non-fiction then, but I do like non-fiction.
Okay. Which of these music would you prefer? Modern classical, like Philip Glass, rock and roll, drum and bass?
Probably modern classical.
Wow, interesting. Which sort of food do you prefer to eat? Meat, vegetarian? I'm not really a food person, to be honest, it says, just to add a bit of flavour.
Well, that's that person telling
it. Literally says, probably, I'm not really a food person, to be honest.
Interesting moral quandary raised here, because when you say prefer, I would eat meat.
It's just
meat.
An internet quiz, John.
No, never mind. But I would prefer to be vegetarian, because morally, I think that's the right choice, but I eat meat.
Morally and indeed Morrissey.
So I would prefer to eat Morrissey.
I'll put that down as vegetarian. Which sort of place would you rather go on holiday? A former Eastern Bloc country off the beaten track. We know where this is going. Cottage in the home counties. A luxury Caribbean retreat.
Genuinely, a former Eastern Bloc country.
Done. Mm.
I would love that.
We're nearly there. If you're at a gig, where do you usually stand? At the back, observing everyone. In the middle, enjoying the music. In the mosh pit.
Well, it depends on who it is. But the last couple of gigs I've seen I really enjoyed, I went to see the Sex Pistols when they reformed.
Okay,
and I went down in the mosh pit there.
Let's do that.
But when did the Sex Pistols reform? That was like 10 years ago.
Yeah. Right. I don't go to a lot of gigs. I went to see Taylor Swift recently.
I was in
a celebrity enclave.
I hope you weren't in a mosh pit.
Right. No, there wasn't really a mosh pit. But when I went to see Sparks, I was at the back and Sparks were amazing.
So what is the answer?
There isn't really an answer. This is a pointless waste of time.
Go for mosh pit.
Okay. I think it must be.
If it's a band I really enjoyed, I'd be down by the mosh pit.
I got it.
Do we have to guess what the album is now?
I'm pretty sure
it's one from the Berlin Trilogy.
No, well, I don't think so. The mosh pit
might help.
Observing from the edge.
You're going for a haircut.
Yeah.
What are you going to ask for? A mullet dyed a vivid colour.
No.
Bleached blonde, sensible short back and sides.
I'd probably go, I wouldn't say any of them, but Tim, I'd have to go for sensible short cut and sides then.
Okay.
That's you said good.
You're getting ready for a night out, Jonathan.
Yeah.
How are you going to dress? Like a member of the opposite sex, very formally, casual, maybe a sweater and jeans.
Of those three, I would, once again, if it was a preference, I would rather dress like a member of the opposite sex, given the options there.
Yeah, well, that's what we're going to put down. What colour would you paint your living room? Blue, electric blue, you see, bright yellow or silver?
I'd probably go with silver, those three, if I was redecorating.
Okay.
This is so many fucking questions.
We're there.
Thank
we now have the album, which...
I'm going to go for...
Is Your Personality, a Bowie album.
Yeah, I'm not reading a lot into this, I'll be honest with you. I'm surprised you didn't ask me for my bank details as well. It sounded to me like this was just a sting.
But that comes now, I think.
What do you think it is, David?
Well, I think it's Heroes.
No, I suspect they're going to give me, from that, I think they'll give me Let's Dance.
Okay, this has worked out really, really well, because they've given you, Jonathan, Low.
Yeah.
Your favourite album.
It's amazing.
Well, that is good.
So,
yeah.
It's like a trick, isn't it?
I think maybe the phone just listens in advance, and when you're talking, you go, I wonder if you'll give my favourite album Low, and the phone goes, Low.
That's all Low.
I mean, seriously, I want to do it, but I don't think on the podcast. So maybe we have to
Let's do it afterwards, not record it, and just come up.
There is a world outside.
If you,
yeah.
Is there?
Yeah, you're like Madonna. Not Dare, whatever it's called.
Can I ask a question for the
audience? She says, there is no life for you.
I can't tell you how many times I've heard that this week.
Can I ask a question for the non-speaking member of the team here? For Bella, is this about the least fun you could possibly have? Listening to three men doing an internet quiz about a musician that you don't even like very much?
She loves it.
Yeah. It's funny.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
White answer. No, you see there, white answer.
Yeah, no, she does. Absolutely. Don't you, Bella?
Yeah.
There you go. Can we play Fill Your Heart's Tiny Tim's version of Fill Your Heart?
Yeah.
Which you will know is on Hunky Dory, and it's by Biff, whatever his name was, Biff Rose. But this is a cover by Tiny Tim.
Fill your heart with love today. Don't play the game of time. Things that happen in the past happen.
But you know what, though? Hunky Dory has two tracks on it, which I would probably skip on a fairly regular basis. It'd be that one and Kooks.
Oh, I would skip them.
Yeah.
No, they're good, but they're twee.
Bit twee. Yes. I agree it's a bit twee, but I like Fill Your Heart.
I think they're a bit too twee. I know, I like them.
Particularly, I like Rick Wakeman's piano.
It's not on a Beatles album. There's certain tracks slip, even though they're all great tracks.
We've said before, I certainly said that Hunky Dory of the classic 10-year period is my least favourite.
I mean, I know you like you're essentially trapped in a kind of 16-year-old goth phase, David. Me. So you like all the Mad Men and stuff like that.
I do love all of that.
Yeah. Although it's very,
it's not Hunky Dory. It's Man of the World.
But it's very heavy-handed. It's so heavy-handed.
Right. Yeah. I just like the melody.
It's quite juvenile writing.
The lyrics are very juvenile.
Well, you guys were talking with some degree with a lack of expertise, I felt, about Black Country Rock.
Hang on a minute. Yeah.
Well, you knew the lyrics, and he didn't seem to appear to have ever heard it before.
I just didn't get picked a peck of peppers in it.
It's the Bolan.
Right, a peck or serum, yeah. West of Bolan, Black Country. I don't know the lyrics or anything, but I know more than you two. Here's the thing. I always saw, and I believe I am mistaken here, but I assumed that was about Black Sabbath.
Really?
Black Country Rock.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
And it's got a heavier riff.
Well, it's probably down.
You can imagine that being the beginning of a Sabbath track.
Yeah. I don't think it's actually about.
No, but I think you're right. Your Bolan interpretation is correct.
Yes. And that's what Lady Star. You know, when you hear Lady Stardust and you think about that Bolan thing, was quite big for him.
So yeah, well, they're close friends, of course. Yeah. Now here, let's get back to what we were talking about before the show, because I want to get this off my chest with you, Tim. You were both talking about Morris's theory about him having what he called a homosexual period in his career and then a heterosexual period in his career.
We weren't approving it. We were just talking about it.
Tim said it made sense.
I said I think there was something to it.
I'll tell you what he was doing in that 80s period. What he was doing. He turned his life on. He wanted to make some money. He wanted commercial success. Mm. And he deliberately sat down with Niles and he gathered a bunch of people around him and said, let's write some hits. Yes. Niles has even gone on record saying, he said to me, I want to be Phil Collins.
Yes.
He wanted to have that level.
Because on your show,
because Phil was
very disparagingly on your show, and obviously I like Phil Collins to some extent because I'm a Genesis fan, out and proud. On your show, the one that we were just talking about, he very, very disparagingly says, my Phil Collins years.
Yeah, yeah.
He talks about them as if they were the worst
thing ever. You know what I suspect that is? I think that's him looking back afterwards and saying, okay, it's all very well, you know, when you do something which is seen as, you might yourself see as less artistically valid but more crassly commercial, you might think, oh, I wish I'd done that. But I suspect that in terms of his emotional health and his financial acumen, he was thrilled he did do that.
Peter Gabriel once told me that Peter Gabriel did this album, if I think it was his last album, it was an album of covers called Scratch My Back. And his whole plan was, he was in two albums, one called Scratch My Back and the other called Scratch My Back Again or something. And he did all these covers, and the idea was that the artist was then going to cover his tracks. I think I may have said this to you. And so he did a cover of Heroes, he does.
Okay.
And then he told me that he sent it to David, expecting that David would say, well, now I'm going to do Salisbury Hill or whatever. David just didn't reply. Nothing back from David.
Why my chance? Why would you want to?
Did he then go email saying, this is Scratch My Back? Scratch yours. Exactly. You reply now.
You not understood.
Yeah. Morrissey would have done it. It's called Scratch My Balls.
Oh, no. You see? So that's terrible.
But Jonathan, like, I'd say Let's Dance, that album Let's Dance.
Let's Dance.
Which would be part of your Phil Collins.
I love that album.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you see that as part of the classics?
I love China Girl. That's absolutely part of it. I mean, I think I prefer Bowie's version of China Girl to Iggy's version of China Girl, but I love both versions. I love that period when Bowie came back because it felt to me like he was doing stuff which was... you could listen to and enjoy and sing along with, which is a crucial part. You forget, you know, people don't forget, but he wrote some amazing tunes.
Yeah, no,
and that's really why it stands.
Yeah, of course. That's the,
you know, I mean...
I think I've said...
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at UH1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
I've said this many times. I said this at the Brighton conference, as Mike Yarwood used to say when he did his impression of Jim Callaghan. But I've said many times that one of the things that's misunderstood about Bowie is all the stuff about him being a shapeshifter and pushing the boundaries of fashion and gender, whatever. It's all very good, but it would be meaningless without the fact that he wrote brilliant, brilliant songs. Know who he would be? He would be Jabriath. If he was not a brilliant, brilliant singer-songwriter.
I would happily be Jabriath.
You would happily be Jabriath,
Here's the thing. But Bowie, when he first started, of course, was writing songs for other people. You know, he did send songs to Peter Noon and people like that. You know, that was what he wanted Hermits to be, the old Tin Pan Alley sort of stuff.
Hermes Hermits did Oh You Pretty Things. Which, considering Peter Noon's teeth at the time,
Bowie,
was not true.
Because Bowie, I like it for Dave D, Dozy, Beaky, Mick and Titch. You know, I like it, I like it. Bowie won't they?
Yeah. Yeah,
I didn't know that.
It's not impossible because some of the early.
I like the way you run your fingers through my hair. Yeah, I like it.
Some of the early novelty tracks could have been that.
I like that period though. I like London Boys. I like.
Well, I've come to like it very much. I've come to like In the Heat of the Morning.
Well, I'll tell you why I like it, of course, is I'm not anywhere near as big a fan as Danny Baker, but I'm an Anthony Newley fan as well. Stop the World in that period. Right. Matter of fact, I'm meant to bring an album in. I've got an album I meant to bring in for you, which you'd have enjoyed seeing. I bought it the other day. It's an album, and he wrote it. It was he'd just come off the huge success of Stop the World, I Want to Get Off on Broadway, where he was kind of king
Anthony
of Broadway
Newley.
For a while. Yeah, Anthony Newley. Yeah. You know, which had What Kind of Fool Am I? Yeah. Where you got that Bowie kind of operatic style in it. Yeah. And the sleeve notes in this album, I'll tell you the name of the album, which is so perfectly of its time. Sleeve notes were written by Joan Collins, whom he was married to at the time.
Of course.
And he said, after the success of Stop the World, Anthony, Leslie and myself decided to go off to the Bahamas to recuperate. So it's Leslie Bacuse, of course, who's another great.
Right. Yeah.
And he said, while we're there, after a while, the boys got tired of sunning themselves and being surf cocktails, so they came up with this idea for a jolly wump of a comedy album. And the album's called Fool Britannia.
Right.
And it's those two. It's Anthony Newley, Joan Collins, Leslie Bacuse and Peter Sellers.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've got it at home. You come out and have a listen.
That
but it's
amazing.
Like, so, you know, there is that period where Anthony Newley...
What was the name of Anthony Newley's show that people go on about? I think I...
Gurney's... The Strange World of Gurney Slack.
Yes,
Strange
World of Gurney Slack.
Yeah, I've got it on VHS here somewhere.
I was going to buy it because you can get it at the BFI. And then I watched a bit of it on YouTube and I thought, this looks like after about 5 minutes, you think, shut up.
Actually, the only show I really want to get hold of, but I think there's only about 5 minutes. There was this ITV back in the day. I think it was ATV, actually, for ITV. They produced a sci-fi series about the time when Doctor Who was the big company called The Corridor People.
The Corridor,
people.
The Tomorrow People, but slightly
low budget. Yeah,
I remember that.
And you can see that, I think it's about a minute or 2 minutes of footage. I'd love to set those down. It's
the Corridor. I'm going
to
look that up. The corridor
People.
What happens in the Corridor?
I don't know. They've lost it. No one knows.
Really?
No one remembers. It looked like it was that kind of like high camp, almost Avengers style.
The Tomorrow People will know, had the drummer from Flintlock in it.
I did not know that.
The music.
And have you seen the thing? Have you seen the episode of Tomorrow People? You're sure it's where one of them, they're going to a fancy dress party, one of them's put on a Nazi uniform. And the computer tells him off and goes, Tim, what are you doing? He said, I'm going to a party. It's only a bit of fun. No, Tim, that is not fun. Many people. Yeah, it's like that. He tells him off on kids' TV. He told him off. If only Prince Harry would be watching that.
Oh, my goodness. That's amazing.
It's amazing.
I've got a bit of the Corridor People here. And it just seems to be weird. It just seems
Is it black and white?
It's black and white. It's a waiter.
There's not much happening, is there?
Oh no! There's a tape recorder inside
my punch bowl.
In a punch bowl.
So '60s.
Yeah, so '60s, and they would have thought that was really high tech and interesting.
Well, Miss Dallow,
can't understand it. I just can't understand it.
No,
I can't understand it.
Amazing.
I can't understand it.
But back in that whole Duran period of, you know, I love that stuff. Those early tracks and the Anthony Newley stuff.
Yeah.
In a way that. So you kind of might conclude, well, you love everything that's from Bowie, but I don't love the 80s and 90s. So there's something special about that period. It's not
you know
just,
what? I don't
they're
think
great songs, right? A lot of them, London
yeah,
Boys.
But
and
I think there probably would be, you know, we were talking earlier, what's the one when he went drum and bass for a while, which obviously I hadn't
Earthling.
Even... Yeah. You listen to that, some of the stuff in that is quite good. It's quite nice to listen to. The only stuff I don't really, I'm not big on... But even on the Blue Jeans album we were talking about, Never Let Me Go, there's one album he does on that, and he did it live with Tina Turner. Do you know the song?
Tonight.
And on the album, it sounds horrible because it's kind of cod reggae.
Yeah.
But the live version with Tina Turner is better than all right. It's amazing.
Well, that's on this new release.
It's amazing. Right. You know the, I don't know if we can say this, but you know the apocryphal perhaps, or certainly the legend that goes around, is that him and Tina had spent the night together.
Okay,
Let's spend the night together.
And then lip readers have looked at what he says on stage because they're singing on stage and the crowd's going nuts because she's doing a live gig and he walks out and joins her on stage.
Mm.
And as he walks over, he says something like, I couldn't walk this morning or something. He says something to her which would substantiate that theory.
Wow. So what, his testicles were so...
So battered
by Tina.
She was saved.
She is simply the best.
Also, but yeah. I wonder how she would react. How would anyone react to someone in mid-performance saying, I couldn't walk this morning? Would she say... She laughs.
Yeah.
She just laughs.
Have we got it? Is it there?
Yeah, it's amazing. You should listen to that song, because that's a song where you think, I listen to why don't I listen to this song more often? So I dug the album out and I thought, well, that's why I don't listen more often, because the album version isn't very good.
Oh, it's really...
It's got that horrible cod reggae beat. I will see you in the sky tonight.
Tonight. There.
Yeah.
I can't read, but there is a moment where he says something and then they hug.
Yeah.
If it is, I couldn't walk this morning. It's quite an extraordinary. John Updike, as you'll know, is my favourite author.
Yeah, yeah.
Describes the feeling in the testicles after you've had a very successful night of sex as a pearly ache.
Wow.
Which I think is very beautiful.
Right.
And that's what David presumably was feeling.
I've met a pearly king and queen. I've never seen a pearly.
Also, isn't that on the Metropolitan line?
No, it's one of David Bowie's early songs. It's one of Tony Newby ones.
I
got a pearly ache.
What kind of pearly ache?
Well, maybe he did. I mean, I don't know how much he was a sort of... He was a Mick Jagger. He wasn't quite Mick Jagger, was he, Bowie? He never really let us into that.
They slept together, apparently, though, didn't they? Right, called Angie, they slept together.
Yes, but Angie says a lot of things.
Yeah.
I don't know how much Morwenna,
by the way, has agreed to be Angie if you ever want to call her.
Oh, we should definitely do that.
Yeah, we'll do that next one.
Yeah.
Unless you want
to. But I don't know, he was never that
David's
sort of...
dead!
Yeah, no, we've talked about that. Really,
of course you have.
It's the greatest moment in the history of television.
You watched that, right?
David's dead! Oh, my God. And then New York... From the reality show, which is with Flavor Flav loses her shit.
Yeah.
Is that her Tiffany, her name is?
Tiffany, which is
from Love in New York.
Yeah, because she means David Guest.
I understand, because David Guest, no one else is thinking about David Bowie, but Angie's thinking about David Bowie 24/7.
That's true, but also...
Can we get back together?
Also, it's quite solipsistic of Tiffany not to think, might there be another David?
No, if I went out the room and came back and you said, Tim's dead, I wouldn't think you're talking about Tim Berners-Lee. I think you meant fucking Tim Hinks, because I've just been talking to him. Well, who else would you think of? It's the person you've been spending every day with. What do you mean, the man who invented the internet is dead?
If you were married to someone called, had been married famously to someone called Tim,
she's a young, self-involved reality star. She's not thinking about someone else's emotional landscape.
But I promise you, if you had been long married to Tim Berners-Lee, I'd have thought, oh, my name means Tim Hinks or the guy who invented the internet.
Boy can dream.
I mean, what a thing that would
be. If I'd have been married to him, he wouldn't have given the fucking internet away.
Tim's dead. What? You don't mean Tim Berners-Lee. No, I mean Tim Hinks.
I couldn't walk this morning.
You mean Tim Hinks or Tim Berners-Lee? If it's Berners-Lee, I'm cancelling the party.
I'm sure you'd both be fine.
When he's
home,
it's a wife on his forehead. That's the last we heard.
It turned out not to be right.
The doctor said it was a very bad case of whiteitis.
If I did die, you'd both be affected by that, wouldn't you?
No, definitely.
I'll be honest with you, I wouldn't.
I wouldn't.
I'm sorry when anyone dies, but I wouldn't.
Wouldn't you be like, well, we did this podcast the other day, I can't believe he's really...
I would say it would be a minor note of interest in the conversation I would have once.
Wow.
You know that bloke said they die? People die.
I mean, I'll be honest with you. That's amazing. I'll be honest with you. It is possible that if this did happen and in a little while, and I called Jonathan, I bumped into Jonathan and I said, oh, Tim died, he might say Tim who?
I would say Tim Berners-Lee.
You say Tim
Don't pull that Tim on. You've already told me that once.
Don't tell anyone.
I hope you don't die soon, but if you do, it's
if it doesn't sound like you care either way, to be honest.
No, I think not really. No, it's fairly clear. Yeah, but you know, he is a hermit.
Yeah, that's true.
Doesn't like people, don't forget.
Waiting for enlightenment.
Hermits over here.
Peter Noon, as we've said.
Day in, day out.
Day in.
I would say
it's
my least favourite Bowie song ever.
You've said that before, but yes.
But I don't wonder if Jonathan had it. Is there one that you...
I don't mind that song particularly. It's not a bad song.
No, I don't.
I don't particularly like it, but I don't mind. Well, I mean, okay, so we're discounting all of Tin Machine, presumably, because they're seen as sort of joint works rather than... Okay.
Well, here's the question. We do, in fact, have some listeners. And I've often wondered, because I can't get through them, if someone maybe out there could do me the favour of listening to the Tin Machine albums and finding there surely is one song that isn't shit.
Mm. Oh, I used to
There are a couple. Look, I've got them on. I tell you how I listen to them. I find the only way I can approach them is I put them on a bow playlist and kind of come up on shuffle occasionally.
Right.
But they always sound to me like it's someone trying to do something else. And it always sounded to me like they were trying to do Nine Inch Nails or they were trying to do something, you know, they were trying to do Nine Inch Nails, a band.
Yeah.
Or also Pearl Jam. It felt like they were trying to be like a grunge young band. It was just a weird...
Remember Bus Stop? Remember that song, Bus Stop? Is that one where it goes right-wing geeks?
Bus Stop?
Right-wing geeks and boilers.
I remember the...
It's about
I remember the tragic appearance on Top of the Pops, though, where they were trying to be all laddish and fun. And one of them is playing the guitar with a big chunk of lard. It's just embarrassing. It's just embarrassing.
So the band don't look cool, do they? Reeves Gabe or whatever is it? It doesn't. They don't look cool.
No, they don't.
Tim, you're a big fan of the Beatles.
Are they about to come in?
No. Oh. Where do you stand? I love Wings. I love Red Rose Speedway. Although virtually impossible for me to pronounce, is a magnificent album.
Yes.
Love Song, I love. But where do you stand on Yoko?
So I'm.
You know, she's just released a version of Imagine.
Yes, and I
love Yoko.
Have you heard?
I've come around to like her. When there's this whole theory, which I'm not claiming is original thought, but is that a whole generation of people, Britpop and everything, I'm a bit younger than you guys, I think, so...
What?
Yeah, well, that's worth saying, which means...
You certainly don't look
all
it.
All these jokes about me dying...
You look the oldest of the
you,
three of us, without more any... To be I you guys. State that clearly enough.
Yes, you do.
You are well, a well old, old fuck I, of a human
I,
being.
But enough of this. when he died, he was shot... a whole generation got into the Beatles, right? And that's the first time I really started listening to them.
Right.
And the first thing I really listened to was Double Fantasy, which had a John song and a Yoko song.
Yeah.
And I used to quite like the Yoko song. I didn't really know anything about her, what she was. So at face value,
I've never listened to it. It's a double album. I've never listened to the whole album.
No, it's a single album, every other song.
It's called
song.
Woman on, isn't it?
Yes.
Woman.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us, above us on this sky.
This is what
I have to say about that. It is exactly what I would imagine.
Yeah,
yes.
That's what you put on when you want people to leave.
Yeah.
However, don't worry, Kyoko Mummy's only looking for a hand in the
beautiful.
Snow. Well, I wouldn't say beautiful, but it's an amazing track.
Yeah,
it's amazing. Beautiful.
But the problem with that
and
track...
And you can mash it up. If ever you're DJing, I've DJed twice.
Yeah.
You can mash it up brilliantly. It goes great with other songs.
Potato.
Yeah, including...
You said the word mash, I said.
I mashed it up with a Madonna song once. It was amazing.
Did you? Which one?
It was American something. What's that one?
Did you?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm so keen to hear that.
I asked her whether or not... Because I'm always interested in... I tell you what genuinely interests me. More than most things is when you see a moment of someone who means a lot to you, and there's a moment in their life which almost crystallizes their fame in that way. So you would think about, like, you know, you look at Bowie and you see that sequence when he did the what was wouldn't have been called a pop video, but when Mick Rock shoot him doing
Gene,
no, but the other one he did Life on Mars.
Okay, all right,
that amazing. And you think, what I'm always curious is, they've just created something which is for the ages. There, it's like the bit when they're at the house and they're doing with the white piano.
Right.
What did they do straight afterwards? Because for them, it's just a day. Yes. What did it bleed into? And I asked her, I said, what do you do the rest of the day?
Mm-hmm.
Can't remember what she said now, but it was interesting.
Yeah, I can't remember.
I think it was a fairly normal day. I did have a great night out with Mick Rock once.
Did you?
I went out to see the Yeah, 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 so I was a big fan of them. This was before they were famous. They'd only had an EP out, and I really wanted to see this band. Because I'm often more interested in new bands than old bands anyway. It's like, I went to see the Rolling Stones twice. Once I only went because Nick Cage was in town. He wanted me to get him tickets, so I thought, I'm going to go out for a night with Nick Cage. It was a great, fun evening, but I didn't particularly want to see the Stones, who I've grown to quite like now. I hated them when I was growing up. But I saw the Stones at a tiny gig they did at the Astoria, and I went to see it. But the only reason Jane and I wanted to go was because the Thrills were opening for them, and we really wanted to see the Thrills live.
I love the Thrills.
And the Thrills were great.
Yeah.
And then... The Rolling Stones kept everyone waiting too long, in my opinion. And when they came on, they started doing lots of late period tracks. And we said, should we go?
So we just left
and went home. We only saw about three tracks.
I'm still interested in what John and Yoko did after the...
Well, check it. I'll find my interview I did with them. We used it in the show.
Have you heard No Bed for Beatle John? This is much more what you call sort of avant-garde. It's basically her in bed in hospital. And I think they had a very tragic miscarriage, right? And so they're in bed... And she's reading a list of things that have basically happened.
Beatle John Lennon lost his hospital bed yesterday to a patient. It happened at Queen Charlotte's Hospital, London, where John was keeping visual in the room.
I mean, to be
and
honest,
then John starts
what
singing.
What I like
background.
About that is,
it's brilliant.
I think we all do that, don't we? I mean, we all sometimes yeah. think, yeah. what if we just sung yeah. what was happening in yeah. our lives?
One
yeah.
of the reasons
right
why I like being here on my own, I often do, I do quite a lot of dancing here,
yeah.
and I sing to myself quite a lot, and I would yeah. just sing, I can't find the piece I need.
Yes.
Yeah. A tiny piece, 1 millimetre by 4 millimetres. Why does the spring not work on Thunderbirds too?
See, if really you, and if you were a Japanese woman and it was 1969, you would that would be an art hit.
Sukashi wa karimasu demo madu josu jarimasen.
Yeah.
Meaning,
well, I'm going to speak a little, but I'm not very good
I don't know if anyone wants to join in with this, but I think we're saying, I feel we've done all we can here on the podcast.
I think it's been highly serviceable.
Well, I'm enjoying this about as much as when Bowie did Baal. And, you know, we were well, so looking forward to Bowie doing Baal. No, I didn't enjoy it at all. Because Scott Walker, who I'm a huge fan of, Bowie was a fan of as well. I talked to Bowie about Scott Walker once.
Yes, we talked about him last on the last podcast.
Yeah.
But my theory that late Bowie's very influenced by Scott Walker.
Maybe so, but Bowie was... Did you see the Scott Walker documentary where Bowie talks about Scott Walker's latest
yeah,
albums?
I think so, yeah.
And he talks about... He just basically says... He more or less says, without being quite as curt or rude, he said, it's unlistenable.
Oh, he says that too.
Was,
yeah, yeah, right. That's yeah, interesting, because yeah. I say on the last podcast, I think Bowie... In the time of sort of outside.
No,
was
Bowie
very
always had. Bowie always had a commercial songwriter's kind yeah. of ear buried somewhere,
yeah, which Scott doesn't.
But the interesting about
when
Scott
he's
is, and
the pig.
I spoke to Jules Holland because I was a huge Scott Walker fan, and he went on later with Jules Holland once in that period. And of course, Scott Walker genuinely became a kind of religious hermit for a
yes.
period and left it all. And he came on, and I said, but Jules, I said, did they rehearse? And I said, yeah, but I said, it's just a racket. And he said, no. He said, when they're rehearsing, he stopped the rehearsal one stage and told one of them off because they'd slapped a flannel against a kettle drum at the wrong time.
Yes.
It was something like that. So
yes.
it was like weird,
yeah,
but he'd just done it slightly wrong.
Yes.
So to Scott Walker, it seemed to make
no,
perfect
on last,
sense.
On the last podcast, yes. I played footage of the pig, the dead pig that someone is punching
wow.
on his song Clara, which is about Benito Mussolini's widow. And Scott stops the punching of the pig. It's just some engineer with glasses on, I mean, the headphones on, and he's punching this old dead pig. Morrissey would hate the whole
he'd
thing.
He'd hate it.
He'd hate it. And he says, no, it's got to be more boom, ba-da-boom, boom, less boom, boom,
yeah.
boom, boom.
I mean, that's someone there. I mean, that's what we would call a Kanye moment.
Yeah, it is a bit quite a Kanye.
When yes, someone's gone bomb. A bit too far and they've got no one around to say, come back to us.
Yeah, I'd call it a crackling yes. moment.
A what?
And on that note, a crackling moment.
I don't think that's the note you want to be remembered for.
Well, it isn't. It absolutely isn't. But
see,
I just want to...
Frank Skinner was in the room,
I just wanted to end the whole thing. Very good. That's kind of Frank Skinner with a little bit of... Darren Brown.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Oh.
And thank you, Jonathan, who's been a marvellous guest
yes.
on these
thank
two
you,
episodes.
I feel like I haven't so much been a guest as a host because I let you into my space.
That's true. He's
yeah,
been a host
been,
and a guest.
For a hermit, you've been incredibly hospitable.
Yeah, you have.
Now get out of my cave.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.